Portland.
This is KBOO Portland, volunteer-powered community radio.
I'm out to sing songs. It'll prove to you that this is your world, and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down, for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Movin' On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
Welcome to the Talking Earth here on KBOO Portland. To remind you that KBOO is community sponsored, non-commercial. We can use your support in any way you choose to bring it. I'm Dan Raphael, your host. Our featured readers are all local. Natasha Minto, Trevino Brings Plenty, and Ulrich Cowley. And I'll be reading some poems by Alice Notley, Rita Dove, and James Grable. Two out of three, not local. But let's start with Natasha Minto. Natasha is the author of Naked, The Rhythm and Groove of It, The Depth and Length to It. An African-American woman born in South Georgia, Natasha grew up in poverty, around drugs, alcohol, and family violence, but writing offers her a way to not only help herself, but others as well. A 2021 recipient of the Taney Foundation Award, she has appeared in or on Nailed, Portland Metrozine, Susan the Journal, Beyond Well with Sheila Hamilton, and many other publications, appearances, and readings. And now you can hear her for herself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm Nastasia Minto, and I'm a poet from South Georgia. I'm going to read a few poems mixed between healing poems and erotica. So I hope you guys enjoy. Okay. Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday mornings. Grandma's hands played the tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to wish you out a warning. She said, Stasha, don't you run too fast. You might trip on a piece of glass. There might be snakes there in the grass. Grandma's hands. The same hands that worked in the cotton fields. The same hands that slaved over the stove can and food so that we could have something to eat. The same hands that stayed up late sewing skirts and dresses so that we could have clothes to wear. The same hands that sat us between her lap and washed and greased our hair. The same hands that grabbed my face and told me to never give up. The same hands that couldn't write and eyes that couldn't read, but she never stopped trying. The same hands that pray for us every night. The same hands that pray for us every night. The same hands that fought tooth and nail to live. The same hands that didn't recognize my hands at the end stage. and the same hands that laid across her chest on the last days. See, those are the hands that are keeping me today, my grandma's hands. And this next one is titled Becoming. And I usually actually start with Becoming because I feel like it invites my ancestors to be with me and to stand with me while I perform. And so here we are welcoming my ancestors here to this small space. Okay. Am I becoming Harriet Tubman? Going back and rewiring my people in their mental state, leading them to freedom and truth in this physical place? Am I becoming Martin Luther King, standing with my people who have a dream, desire to be judged solely by my characteristics instead of the color of my being? Am I becoming Maya Angelou, a phenomenal woman phenomenally, writing words that'll be read and heard generations far beyond me? Am I becoming Oprah Winfrey, a woman they didn't want on the TV screens, now owns her own network, a black entrepreneur queen? Am I becoming Michelle Obama, the first black first lady to hold a law degree to be written down in history, being the representation that our people of color need to be? See, we are becoming the people you never thought we would be. And I mean, I am becoming the person you never thought I would be. I mean, I was raised in an environment that was meant to devour me. I was filled with hate. So statistically, I shouldn't have survived to see 28. I mean, from the crack cocaine in my genes, it seems as if I should have been another statistic. An alcoholic, drug abuser, unsuccessful, fully addicted. But I begin to break chains. 25 years old, neuroplasticity made new connections in my brain. I retrain and reframe from the things that were keeping me farther away from me. I mean, can't y'all see? Can't you see the roadblocks and detours that were keeping me away from my destiny? But I am destined, you see, to be something great, because I refuse to allow this society to give me a predetermined death date. So I purposely pull from the roots that engulf me, the same ones that suffocate but also love me, the same ones that tell me to speak, but my God, they also hush me. And I am so grateful and thankful for the people who have paved paths before me. You've endured many hardships, but you've never given up on the vision of what you could be. So I had to put myself in these environments so that I could see. I mean, no. So that I can be the best version of myself that I am becoming. Yeah, thank you. Okay, and on the tails of becoming, this next one is titled America's Unborn Child. And I titled it that because just thinking about how it is to be a black non-binary person in this society and to go through all the therapy and do all the things that people are telling you to do to heal and to get better, but realizing that society itself also has to change, also has to go to therapy, whatever therapy may mean for them. And unless that happens, it's just like a vicious cycle going in circles, because nothing really changes unless we change ourselves. And so this one is titled America's Unborn Child. We were conceived with her hands over her head, hands held her leg, and her womb was taken. No permission was given. We were seated in your womb, mama, snuggled in the corners, growing at a steadily pace, heartbeats merging, organs forming, spine stretching, toes and fingers spreading, brain developing, tossing and turning, tossing and turning. Do you love us, mama? Do you feel us, mama? Because we feel you. We feel the knee to your neck, the gun to your head, the force around your waist, the hands covering your face. Wait, mama, we can't breathe. Mama, please inhale. We toss and turn to soothe you. Is that too much, mama? Are we making you tired, mama? Do you love us, mama? because we eat the same poison you feed yourself. We drink the same water. We are intertwined, connected like roots. Mama, do you see this cord that stems from you to me? Do you feel us, Mama? Because we are tossing and turning to get your attention. We're imprinting our feet in your womb, on your skin, in your body, on these bodies. Can you feel us, Mama? Are we ready to enter this world? Are you ready for us? Is it time? Are we ready for this place? Will you care for us, Mama? Will you care for us? Long labor, heavy breathing, fathered by many but fatherless, whose name will we carry? Whose legacies do we hold? Whose wealth will we obtain, Mama? We are here. Do you love us, Mama? Tossing and turning, we are here. Do you love us, Mama? Tossing and turning. We hear the songs you sung, trying to soothe us. It lays thick on the skin. We're scarred, the rich dirt of the skin. In this skin, we live in. In this skin, I live in. See, you birthed us, Mama. Do you love us? Do you see the wounds we are trying to heal? Can you feel us healing? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that we know who we are apart from you, America? Take a moment to just sit in that one. And speaking of mothers, my mom passed away in 2021, and it was a long journey for us because I wasn't raised by her. And I know some of you who may listen to this may know me and know my journey of being raised by my grandparents. And so this next piece is titled A Beautiful Rejection. And started from the simple rejection of my mother and then gaining our relationship with her and then her passing away. So going through many layers of grief and of love and hurt and rejection and continuously learning. So here's this one, A Beautiful Rejection. I will say it started when I was in the womb, when my mama decided to consume crack cocaine, and from the pain after the first hit, she thought that was it, until she went into labor. And see, I survived. And by everyone's surprise, I was not only alive, but semi-healthy, except the crack addiction. But my mama will fix me. 8 months to breastfeed, her heartbeat always close to me, but not closer than her addiction. I mean the rejection. No, I mean not closer than her protection. See, she was supposed to protect me, or at least that's how I felt. And no one can heal a drug addict with 12 steps and a pill. It's a freedom at will. But see, my mama gave me the first taste of the rejection. But I knew she loved me in the best and only way she knew how. And even now, I can tell you from this rejection, I had the hardest time with asking women out. See, I was attracted to women who were similar to me. They were broken and running away from their insecurities. Women who were emotionally unavailable to me, who saw the love that I could give, but even I didn't know how to receive it from a place of lack. Women who craved communication, but depth made them draw back, retract. Because being open meant that we could see each other's wounds, feel the soft places, take off the mask and reveal all the broken and beautiful places. Women, these women who were all so very similar to me, the me that ran away from my own identity, the me that placed my feelings aside because the women were always the drivers and I was just along for the ride, the me that emotionally shut down and would mentally and physically hide because I couldn't face myself, my reality, because I was looking for a woman to complete me, to need me, to never leave me. But my reality reminded me that I was looking for my mother and my lovers, like individuals who date men sometimes. They tend to date men that are similar to their fathers, mothers, and brothers. Whether they are good or bad, there is something that draws them closer. But I know for me, I just needed closure. Closure from the vicious cycle of running away, Standing face to face with my mother and choosing to address my fears and insecurities in a healthy way. And now I find myself being able to identify the old habits and traits right away. And I'm able to be authentically me and handle rejection in a totally different and beautiful way. Healing mother wounds. My God. What a journey. Again, I just want to thank y'all so much just for like listening and taking this all in. And I hope you guys are having a great night. So I would like to slowly transition into some erotica, if that's good. All right. So I'm gonna read one piece, and then after that, I think because of time, I think I have enough time. I'm not sure, but I want to read this piece called Bed Talk, and it is about masturbation, because I was raised in a church by two black Pentecostal preachers. Both of my grandparents were preachers. And so anything around sex, sexuality, and sensuality was always a sin, always shameful. And once I was older, and by older, I mean 30, because now I'm heading on 33. I didn't want to feel so much shame in my body about things that I shouldn't feel shame about. And so this one is titled Bed Talk. I need to sit with my body, embrace my nakedness, lay in silence with my flannel sheets as my hands explore the depth of me. I need to know what it feels like to be unrestrained, retrain my brain to think about me and not my past lover's scents on my sheets. Are the feelings I get when their hands are caressing my body inside of me, riding me like a boomerang. The feelings come back to me. See, my brain connects those synapses as if they are the only ones that could please me. And believe me, they are not. I will dive deep into this pleasurable exploration. My thumb and index fingers squeeze my nipples while my hands cuff my breast. The temptation to think about another is convincingly enticing in order to increase the intensity. But I need to focus on me, my body, the entire surface of this maze, searching and digging up old foundation that has been laid, training my body, my brain to give all of its sustained attention to me, because my hands do please. My hands, my breasts, my chest, I rub between the creases of my thighs. My thighs, my knees rise, I rub my clit between my fingertips. My labia majora, my minoras, my fingers glide along the rigid flesh. Erectile pili muscles, they contract. The hairs on my neck and back, they react, they stand. My hands made plans to dive a little deeper. My muscles swell around my fingers as they aim to please her. One finger, two finger, push just a little bit deeper. My heels, they rise, my thighs open wide, and I enjoy my own fucking roller coaster ride. These sheets hold me as the sweat escapes my pores, holding me tight as I lay on my back to give myself more, feel more, move slowly, then faster, in and out, I feel the waves escape my ocean lips, my back arch and then dip with each crash. It lasted for minutes, muscle spasm around my fingers inside, they glide so smoothly, my breath release. The sheet catches my moans. My fingernails meet the sheets and crumble them in my hand. I spend the time my mind has been recalibrated, fixated on the sensation that rolled in like high tides. My muscle relax, my back goes flat, and my heels, they greet the sheets. And my body slowly releases my fingers back to me, and the bed talked. Yes. Yes. One more?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, one more or wrap it up. Okay. One more short one or one more long one? Just a little shorter?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. So this last one is titled Dream Space. I hope y'all have a great night. I watched as she sat naked on the stool, right leg extended, left leg bent, pressed against this 12 by 18 canvas. This glass room makes the tattoos on her back dance, and I was in a trance by the rays hitting each color, highlighting its hues. It was something about the way she moved around her hands across the canvas that resembled spreading butter on warm bread. She resembled the female peacock stealthily waiting to be approached by mating call, gliding across the canvas with ease. I respond to the call, going to paint her with my tongue. Her canvas will know each stroke. My senses will distinguish between the color palette of her taste. I will dip my brush in her waters, cleanse my palette for a new color to paint a new space. My hands hold the canvas in place. My lips create outlines in different locations, bright colors accentuated against her beautiful skin. Her moans the color of bright red sands. Breathless grunts when I slide my fingers in. Deep blues and purple hues when my lips meet her skin. Her breath is airy. She likes the faster strokes of my tongue. And when my lips encase her cosmic click, she releases soft hums. She slides down deep on my fingers. Her nail leaves red zigzags on my back. Push me away, bring me back. You like that? Just as she slightly arches her back, she breathes in the yellow hues for a deep relief. But man, it's such a bad timing for the alarm clock to awaken me, but I hit snooze. Thank y'all.
And thank you, Nastasha Minto. Now I'm going to read a poem from what I consider one of the finest works of literature I know of, Alma, or The Dead Women, by Alice Notley. So much I could say about it. Not an easy book to find, but I'll let this poem speak for itself. Big book, kind of like a novel. Oh, okay. Code. Only you will understand this. There are no combat experiences. I did not accept the code for war as necessary, but you did not hear me speak for my code once in Cherokee is now every empty morning. Only you will understand me. I don't believe we have to get even or exact justice for 9/11, a date which is unremembered in the further future. Only dead women should act in revenge, because nature believes death is a male code, but women are born dead is a female one. We deserve recompense for our new birth, and it may be that they will always be denied my new code in which the secrets of Marx implode. Does this code not seem secret enough? Do you think you really understand? But I must add, in the final version, Moira, Fate, is not excluded from our emergence. She understands best that nothing follows, but that everything is fatal if a man is allowed a radio. But if she is not with him, the fatality is not to the female, and there is no drama without women waiting to remove us. Only you have understood me so far. A man has enslaved you in your signature to I will do right, when right can only be done 1,000,000,000 years ago, at the beginning of civilization, when we women lost a battle. Or it can be done exactly now, outside popular perception, now at the emergence with neon strings of Holocausts decorating the globe. I demand that you have understood me. If you did, why haven't we killed ourselves? Only you understand that I'm serious, and there is one thing to do in such a world, refuse to engage in remembers to this day, and such hieroglyphics carved as if a man's hair tousled by as if a general wore a poem. This is a unique idea for secret communication. You know who I am talking to just you. It's not so much that you agree with me as that supermarket tradition and lowered suicidal are gone gestures for the future. But I must tell you that because of your personal custom, there is balm more than famine in the Western tradition of what is a horror due to refusal to face the causality inherent in food that would be a ration or rational. To feed everyone instead of thinking they should probably all be killed, if the Khmer Rouge thought they should, as in it is better to hate Islamists than to do practically anything else, you can be sure that if Moira has joined the emergence, then the unemerged are busy with shapeless torture and righteousness, or she has brought with us invisible shapes and rhythm. Am I speaking to you? Only you understand me. I don't know if I want a man, at least an older man, to understand this anymore. I'm not speaking to him anymore, as if this were in code, though I am sitting with the guardian, emerged into the gully in my mind. He becomes a burrowing owl, and we are going to live in the desert near a tire and an intervoided sorceress explosion. We have emerged with Moira Cherokee and the others from the factory of supposed judiciousness into the wild take place, you untherapeutic drought. And you who understand me, they filmed it with a grid in mind, the previous world that they had judged defined and structured to hierarchies promoting female and racial woes. So if you said that you were said to be living in a formerly true fantasy of wrong that had been righted, but they filmed underwater in diving suits, not drowning ever or becoming fish, though while I have suffocated, I have learned to breathe in the dirty nether world I descended to, and I perceived that a government grid was part of my torso. But he wouldn't have to touch me because I am older and not related to him, while he points to the grid keeping water from himself with a thick diving helmet and suit. Destruction was easy. Only you will understand this. Our ways are not being restructured, but are spent. Only you can understand that from their malaise, we are left without lots to cast. And that's Alice Notley from Alma. Or the Dead Women. Check it out. But to check out next, we have poll number 2, Trevino Brings Plenty. He's an enrolled member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation, a filmmaker, musician, and poet. His work has appeared in Yellow Medicine Review, Red Ink Magazine, Prairie Schooner, North American Review Poetry, New Poets of Native Nations, and elsewhere. Brings Plenty of books are Wakpawanagi, Ghost River, and Real Indian Junk Jewelry. And here's Trevino.
Sacred Skoden 1. Oh, gee, that guy was just rugged living. Greasy face, braid, messy mustache like dirt above his lip when he points to the truck stalled at Walmart's. His neck was all hickeyed. And his face, too. He says, I gets a case of pop and chips, gonna go to rodeo. My old lady rides real vish, oh, ain't it? And she's real tradish. Skoden, she says now. Pendleton Roundup, gonna get Mazaska Tonka. She talked Indian real good. He good to her, she good to him. Together they kiss the lips of danger's lust till end. That guy was just like that, just off, they say too. I heard he shacked up downtown Santa Fe. Sacred Skoden 2. Hanging around that art school near the lake, talking to aliens in the mountains. Those UFOs zip off that open dark sky. He jumps in basketball shorts and cowboy boots, white tube socks, dingy sleeveless red shirt, real stink. Ain't got no kids, running around to powwows and things like that. And he was just like that in it. Everyone knows him. They bumped him some money. He pays them back after his ranch hand check comes through Sunday. Sends a Western Union to his mother. First of the month to help keep her housed good. He not quite strange yet in the woods, step light, wilderness within mouth filled with good goods. Sacred Skoden 3. Hitched leg on truck, tailgate, barbecue stand. Pop in grip, hold lean back on pull, head tilt. He shrugs his jean jacket off his shoulder, throws it into the old pickup flatbed. Studis, he says. He stands, closed fist, thumbs out. He sings Mr. Rogers songs in falsetto. Quick footwork dance, arm swings up, top his head. Down he slips, hits the concrete ground real hard. Red face in his face yells, Engine away with you. pocket knife, dull shine and entry. He runs from stadium parking lot to the train, boards the eastbound line towards downtown. He enters the Denny's, orders meal till well fed. The sugars light up with a bright tingle in head. Secret Skoden 4. Rope wrapped around leather gloved hand, he yanks tight the knot, forearm strained to chest. Post hole dug in the summer sun, he sweats. Handkerchief wipes, brow dry, he yells to boss. Piss break hoss, removes gloves, unbuttons shirt neck. Yellow streams, arcs, shines in the prairie wind. Pinches the pee flow in repetition, sounds gunshot, pew, pew, pew. Imagines death to enemies at the local town bar. Catches scrotum on zip-up, shit, he yells. Long pull on water bottle, he splashes. His face in the cool breeze feels good midday. Can't wait to get to camp spot for the night. Unroll sleeping bag after refried beans, meal, diet soda, and tortilla chips. Secret Skoden 5. He sets the cue ball slightly off center, daggers it into an explosion blast, inserts a fiver into the jukebox. Eye of the tiger starts when he sinks the eight. He pockets bills without counting them all, orders a pitcher pop and inhales popcorn and salted peanuts. A fist hits his chin, he steps back and swings wild, connects to a right ear and lunges forward head into another head. He kicks the man in the gut, is pulled off him, pushed out the bar. He walks down sidewalk, blood spits to the ground, dumpster fire ignites the town block bright. He sleeps under stars and cars screech in park. Sacred Skoden 6. BM in the library stall flushes down, washes hands and greasy face and dry with brown paper towel. He thumbs pages of a local made zine. He sits at desk, reads activist rhetoric lit, yawns wide and stretches arm into the dusty air. Reverie lost of back home, now city dwell. He taps feet to country music and thought. Pushes out at closing time, he walks to get coffee and sit in booth until sleep time. Tent pitched under freeway overpass, unrolls sleeping bag, slithers in and reads worn book. Closes eyes and dreams childhood run through grass. Dusk, mother swings arm out calling him in. Sacred Skoden 7. A little sick in it. Good enough for a girl, but not for a woman who don't put up with his goddamn stink crap. Oh, cry in it. Just Ushika. Coming around here for sleep. He used up all his lease money, gambling, rambling, town to town. Seen him east side bound. He's with those rugged guys bumming spare change at the gas station dumpster. Real cheap like, just like that, innit? Hole filled sneakers. He walk in here proud like a sandwich made with real cheese and not that commod off stuff. He too good to come around here sometimes says. If you can't love me at my rugged, you don't deserve me at my good sacred self. Sacred Skoden 8. I stood there before those dogs biting folks. I didn't know where I was. This ain't my America. They rammed this pipe into my homeland. I stood there, tear gas in eyes. That stick hit my arm, hurt real bad. I screamed, "Move, move, move." And those security guards stomped back the line. I locked arms with others there. We marched forward and sang Lakota songs. I laughed and laughed with many new met friends. I woke at dawn and smoke filled the air. People prayed. I prayed for something better. They pushed us off that hill. We drummed anyways. I cried when I left that family campsite. I wintered there and want to return soon. Sacred Scoden 9. He wakes early at the campgrounds, unzips tent flap, pokes head into the world. He thrusts cold water direct from river. Morning songs curl in the wind, flick earlobe. He arcs his back, a urine stream high bends, sprays back onto his shirt. He removes it. He walks to the shower and cleans himself. He walks to his tent and puts on fresh clothes. He brushes his teeth, tongues the missing tooth, flosses out food bits, spits blood onto grass. Water boils, he mixes instant coffee, mixes powdered eggs, spread butter on bread. His old lady returns from the shower, sits next to him and eats warm breakfast meal. Sacred Scoden 10. On the dirt roadside behind the casino, tall boy beer can glistens in morning light. I woke from dreary dream to eat an apple. I drop one next to the dumpster and leave. Breakfast from Golden Arches, cheap menu. Sugar and powder, creamer into cup. Drink coffee slow. Dip hash brown into sauce. Chew and chew the bits and swallow down throat. Look out window from booth, weeds through pavement. Old man hand pulls open truck door, jumps in, kicks engine alive and cranks down window, waves to me. I leave the restaurant exit, throw my pack into the truck bed, climb in, leave with him, work his ranch for the long day. Sacred Scoden 11. Rip apart tree limb with fresh soil chainsaw. I fear teeth gnawing my skin with each cut. Mindful of back bend, not to aggravate. Muscle spasms and be laid out for a week. Wheelbarrow low to truck and fill the bed. I break and drink water from backyard hose. Hear crow caw chatter in the trees above. Flap wings and branch jump from tree to cut tree. Pull chainsaw cord and continue to labor. Angle cuts in the trunk to fall in place. Ground cut section fearing that kickback jerk. Pump oil onto chain and push down to dirt. Day's end. I have all my parts, no blood spilled. 'Twas good. Now to meal something nice and warm. Sacred Scoden 12. Presses play on Walkman, loudly jams out, kicks rocks into lake while food fire cooks, stirs coffee in thermos cup, slowly sips, inhales cig smoke, and sits on large boulder. He removes his boots, digs toes into moss. Guitar solo wails, excites his breathing. He jumps, windmills his right arm, tickles air with left hand, fingering imagined neck. Closes eyes, purses lips, clenches teeth tight. Heart races quick, karate kick the sky. Falls to his knees, leans back, opens his eyes, yells out to the scattering birds out front. He sits, eats his breakfast, and smiles real big. He sits, eats his breakfast, and smiles real big. To remember a grandparent. childhood woven into an age hand fit, instruct language through mouths tongued barren pulse, morning meal before blazing down crest fold, undig for molar rest arc window cloud, train cut past blinking rock until seizure, split river confluence. Levee burst clean, flood the small community rung in plight. Tell them not the glory battle tonight, but the broken dream boat floating downstream. Vanport Indians gather then leave from sight, made cheap homes for undesirable folks sanctioned by skin, separated from city. Wet eyes blink in a star-dimmed light forlorn, displaced, though not new to them again torn.
Thanks, Trevino. Next up, we have a couple poems from the book Playlist for the Apocalypse by Rita Dove, former U.S. Poet Laureate. Trayvon Redux. Let me start off with a quote. It is difficult to get the news from poems, yet men die miserably every day for lack of what is found there. Hear me out, for I too am concerned, and every man who wants to die at peace in his bed besides. William Carlos Williams from Asphodel, that greeny flower. Move along, you don't belong here. This is what you're thinking. Thinking drives you nuts these days. All that talk about rights and law abidance when you can't even walk your own neighborhood in peace and quiet. Get your black ass gone. You're thinking again. Then what? Matlock's on TV, and here you are, vigilant, weary, exposed to the element on a wet winter's evening in Florida, when all's not right but no one sees it. Where are they? The law, the enforcers, blind as a bunch of lazy bats can be, holsters dangling from coat hooks above their desks as they jaw the news between donuts. Hey, it tastes good, shoving your voice down a throat thinking only of sweetness. Go on, choke on that. Did you say something? Are you thinking again? Stop and get your ass gone, your blackness. That casual little red riding hood, I'm just on my way home attitude, as if this street was his to walk on. Do you hear me talking to you, boy? How dare he smile, jiggling his goodies in that tiny shiny bag, his black paw crinkling it. How dare he tinkle their laughter at you? Here's a fine basket of riddles. If a mouth shoots off and no one's around to hear it, who can say which came first? Push or shove? Bang or whimper? Which is news fit to write home about? And Lucille, post-operative years. Most often she couldn't think, which is to say she thought of everything and at once. Catfish in the bathtub, a bowl of oatmeal nailed with a butter square, her disappointment palpable as bread. Then, sudden as a wince, she couldn't remember a thing. So she got out the broom and swept the back porch, that anonymous hoodwinked sea. What bothered her? The gaps between. Her first camisole, then this morning's scalding coffee. How men became themselves while playing cards, how women became themselves while sleeping. When she was young, she used to sit in the very top of the plum tree. She swept on until she heard Mama whispering, "Hush, child, time's a-wastin'." Dry leaf in the palm, dry leaf on the branch, and the porch was clean. And that's Rita Dove. Moving from her to today's third featured poet, Ulrich Cowley. Ulrich studied philosophy at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. He tends a bar at Slim's in St. John's and appears regularly in the Wildwood Tavern open mic. And here's Ulrich.
All right. My name is Ulrich. Here are a few pieces I want to share with everybody. I've been doing open mics for a long time, and it's just a passion of mine. And this one's about writing and playing with symbols. You have worshipped the word, as it was, they said. The beginning, The sound of clothespins snapping as you pull the garments from the string in our already primordial ritual that you hopelessly cling to as the linen does to the line. You practice the act of remembrance, an elegiac structure of the past and hopes to harness ideas of ancients circumnavigating the absurdity of existence. That rusted barbed wire fence that contains the corral of cultured cows are brute belief, eviscerated by the mundane exegesis of symbols, sounds out like symbols, the syllabic caught in the net of the curating being, that machine of scene sculpting, structuring the brute onslaught of the body passing. Through the miasma of time and space, you capture yourself in memory's trap. It's a ball mason jar, condensating full of iced sweet tea on the front porch, and the binary code of lightning bugs, the humidity sticking shirt to skin, that taste of honeysuckle on the fence, running barefoot under the shade of pines towards the wild embrace of Shadow Lake. And that's that one. Now, the last stanza was, I'm from Alabama, so that one's kind of like a shout out to the South, and Shadow Lake is, I live by that lake. So this next one's about bartending. I bartend for a living, for better or worse. I just call it bartending. The colored foliage of flowers give way to the green. Trees and yards slowly meld into their uniform of the summer parade. And you're lost in the cracked, crisp pool of an open beer, where you map out your reflection in bubbles, and the orchestra of regulars dumping their minds, expecting you to be a relentless sieve of understanding. And as they form their image of you, the sound of birds escaping their eggs, and snow melt flowing into tributaries, the vibrant green buds of pines screaming, the cyclical regeneration, a kaleidoscope of death navel gazing into life. You're pouring a beer and grabbing a bottle of booze, not knowing their name, but their drink. A supplier of sedatives, a waking dream maker, the bottle fits your palm in the same way you wish their understanding of you would fit yourself. Yet the primal yelp of a distraught drunk does mirror that bacchanal being that parades around in your skin as some theater of defense. The routine frustration of actualization is played out like a ceramic songbox. This tune's rhythm is coordinated with doom, and yet you continue to dance. And then this last one's a little bit longer, but not that much longer. I live in Forest Park, kind of. I had this during COVID, and I'm really interested in just, you know, the nature of life, consciousness, how we interact with the systems, environmentally, economically, everything that we exist in. So this is kind of about that. It's called Stars on Your Lid. You are viewing the stars on your lid, and just as the night precedes the dawn, so does that light, entering upon the rising of the veil, blinding at first, a ritual of acclimation. Your view becomes the fervent green of life captured in the rapture of dew held on that morning tree before you. Its trunk, a cylinder of that unrelenting strength of becoming, rising amongst the mulch. A fecund bed of decay, its outline made distinct against the many that stand before and beyond. The limbs and branches capturing the morning light like a colander does water, its warmth blanketing your skin. Trees crown glorious in its menagerie, fit for the old kings and queens who stood as sacrifice for the crops. This is what you see in the morning tree. Beds of moss and colonies of mushrooms expand like valleys and forests over the roots too mighty to hide under the comfort of the perpetual night of soil. Under the canopy of those who eat decay, marches a phalanx of ants, towards their holy sacrament, the body of a worm, dried from the force of heat, torn piece by piece with precision, the one become many on the backs of others, and carried into those tunnels, deep and mysterious, untouched in their form by sight. This is the drama of the floor, a procession of being, dissimulated by the pincers of life, becoming the one acting as many. And in the beak of the bird with its tar-colored head and indigo body, life is tossed about like clothes in the dryer. She stands over the nestled nest, babies naked of their natural clothing, crying a cacophonous celebration as the torn garments of flesh land into their morbid mouths. A proliferation of bodies upon bodies. The all too familiar metaphor of the will. And that's the last one. And if you want, you can get my zine Stars on Your Lid, but you have to email me, which is Ulrich Cowley, U-L-R-I-C-C-O-W-L-E-Y, @gmail.com. Hey, this is Ulrich. I got a couple more to read. And I'm starting with this one, which is kind of just a kind of a little bit of a me writing, being a writer and stuff. I am a song, visceral and physical, a tapestry of flesh sewn together by electricity and energy. My mind, like other minds, exists in its own singularity, but underneath it rides the currents that push all minds. My thoughts move like tides. The water of my vocabulary fills me up with the definition, then empties it out, revealing structure. At 9 a.m., I watch as the shadows of cars passing on the bridge above ripple against the limbs of trees. A silent film plays in the nuance of their shape to the echo of the familiar corvid. A procession line of mental content fills the image, carrying with it its own weight. The present, an elusive grasping, ladles itself out into the past and future. Ephemeral scenes of existence like undeveloped film that floats in chemicals in an abandoned dark room. These are then line up with clothes, pins like laundry, your thoughts given order so you can go about your day. There are times when the wind, nature, becomes so strong it tears at the laundry line and the order collapses, forcing you to see the world in an unknown way. Where socialization and cultural influences collapse like a failed Jenga game, and the sound of the wooden blocks ricocheting into disorder create a melody of vulnerability, and raw I art thou comes stumbling in like a choral masterpiece. It resonates with the architectural acoustics that is my consciousness. Colors collapsing due to the cacophony of reverie. The mind's eye signifies the me, and in the dressing of the flesh, I sing to nature a sullen overture of becoming, a procedural birth transfigured from sacred to profane. I remember an image of cracked plastic blinds settled upon a window pane. A territory that consists of dead wasps and flies, enough just to build a boat that on fire, smoke and orange heat is pushed out, carrying my soul. And running my fingers across a row of books, picking up one occasionally and cracking open its aged paperback spine, Bibliosama makes its way through my nostrils and I begin to imagine. This is divinity. A small moment among many, like the recycled material that is sewn in quilts, carries heavy thoughts in a funeral procession to the summit, and for once my mind empties like a spilt cup of water. I wonder you, in what ways you can be an assembly line of experience, piecing together a personality, but we both refuse to be defined by the scenes we had no hand in, the hushed roar of the waterfall, of the scattering droplets of water spraying against my face, cutting through time as it etches itself upon the bedrock of millennia. Those years, months, and days that make up the form which houses myself, collapses like a house of cards to the banal realization of my temporality, to be water passing. That is why I write and why I attempt you, to feel the weight of time, but allow it to carry past me like wind. To live present and truly know its menagerie of content is infinite. To consume my past and remember my future. The stuttering of the POS system printing out a food ticket, the sizzle and following bubbles that come with pancake batter hitting the flat top, the crackle and pop of fries hitting the fryer, the hollowed hum of the fan, the heat pushing sweat, and the delicate dance of line cooks twisting and turning like swirling dervishes in tune with each other as they slide plates out for the hungry masses. A cold tecate chugged amongst the produce in the walk-in. A feverish fury of sin while your body crumbles to the lifestyle harmony. The adrenaline of rush and awe filled my mind, and the trade became a comfortable place until its repetitiveness drowned me with fatigue. It is like reading to become. Words dance around the form, but they ultimately fail to shape it. Like a scepter, it haunts my mind, and I continue to journey to find what it is I am supposed to express. Is it some story hidden within the helix of my decaying DNA? Time uncorks it like a wine bottle, and I lick it up from the lake of experience. Looking there in the horizon weaving web of silhouetted limbs of the canopy. Attempting to capture the early dawn where moon and sun parallel, empty the sky, leaving an endless indigo in anticipation. You have become before. A simple act, a troubling pact with identity. You stutter over facts like your mouth is full of words with no meaning. And the act of gleaming pushes you out further, where definition decays like the wood of an abandoned cabin. One which you imagined would carry solace. But it wasn't people you were running from. It was yourself. All right. And here's another little quick one I got for you. It's kind of just more of an, it's like a self-help poem I wrote for myself. This is a dialect on falling apart, a tethered line of health and destruction. We've been gestating in pain, and it paints our skin with its view. So you'll have another drink, so you'll have another shot. Stumbling into the night away from thoughts you'd rather not meet, like school strangers in the local Walmart. That shadow work like dipping your arm shoulder deep in dirty oil weighs you down and covers you in filth, but damn, don't give in. There's beauty in the pain. You can see it with each rain. Your brilliance across the canvas is never overshadowed by the hurt that you feel like defines you. I hope you're soft towards yourself and give yourself that space to know the hurt isn't all that there is, that there's also growth and love and the smile of a friend's face and a newly discovered place. And if you ever need a ear, I'm here. That's that. Thank you.
And thank you, Ulrich. I had mentioned at the start of the show I'd read something from James Grable, but won't be time for that. We'll recommend his brand new book called Schoenberg in the Troposphere, published by Cyberwit in India. Go out and find it. You'll enjoy it. Here's a short poem of mine, now that it is spring. A winter of no content. 21 degrees below in Fairbanks, I can't conceive when your breath could explode. Here in Portland, we worry if the teens, when pipes can freeze, or a little warmer when the rain becomes ice on impact, taking trees and power lines to the ground. What of my inner weather, the winter of my life, my 70-plus circuits around the sun of existence, billions of existential suns obscured and subservient to the planetary rhythm, trying to keep up with our sun, chasing who knows what hunger, as if that could be just science, so the sun may not show today. The clouds that hide me could be latent emotional precipitation or thunder nowhere near the surface, or that I have no reason to let out, get out, no means to enter another solar system where our lights are almost as faint as our gravities. And that's Talking Earth. I'm Dan Raphael. Big thanks to our three featured poets today, Natasha Minto, Trevino Brings Plenty, Ulrich Cowley, all local folks. all popping up here and there for you to hear them. And that's what we need here, more people popping up for poetry. There were like four people I had planned to have on this radio show who never got back to me. But again, we got lots of poets in town, and it's important to go out and find them, listen to them, be a poet yourself. Thanks, as always, to KBOO, to all who support KBOO, to our my guardian angel engineer, Patrick Bocard, to the founders and continuing voices of the Talking Earth, Walt Curtis and Barbara LaMorticella. I'm Dan Raphael. I have books around, too. Hey, and hopefully more readings in the future. Take care of yourselves, and good night.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH, Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR, Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Hello, dear listeners. Oil for Kisses is a monthly program on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland, that highlights the headier and weirder sides of underground metal, post-punk, DIY hardcore, and beyond. Every month features a different theme where we delve into the history of a specific genre topic or musical location, or simply churn out the best, brightest, and ugliest sounds from around the globe. Join me, DJ Krauthammer, every first Friday night, Saturday morning of the month, at midnight till 3 a.m. for Oil for Kisses to experience it for yourself. Only on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.